let's leave our problems behind those doors over there, and let's concentrate in God today. And happy Father's Day. Okay? Today is a day of the Lord, our Father. God is our Father, right? But before I start my sermon, I want to make a disclaimer. Okay? We're going to talk about some principles of parenting and fatherhood. But my disclaimer is that I'm not a perfect father. And my kids are here, they know that. I don't have a perfect family. I don't pretend to have a perfect family. That's not my goal, because I'm human. And we come for a, many of us come from a dysfunctional family. I come from a dysfunctional family myself. So I don't pretend to have a perfect family. My goal is to take my kids and my family closer to God every day. So they came by themselves, believe in God, and have a closer relationship with God. But today we're going to talk about some principles about fatherhood. Okay? Those principles come from a family research, from the Bible, and from the spirit of prophecy. Okay? Now, our Father God, what a beautiful image, right? When God wants to represent the relationship that he wants to have with us, he shows the father-child relationship, right? We call him Father, and we are his children. Isn't that beautiful? And God is a wonderful Father, right? He is perfect, right? He always uses this picture, this image, this portrait of God, because he's a loving God. And his fatherhood style should be a role model as fathers. Okay, that's what we're gonna see today. Now, I was curious about how much money do Americans spend in Father's Day? Any guess? They spend a lot of money. But they spend more in Mother's Day, right? That's not fair, but I guess that's the way it is. And you know, there's a reason for that, right? Even Ellen G. White says that right after God, the love of the mother is the greatest in the world. Did you know that? She says so. So there's a reason for that. But I guess, you know, we come in second place, but that's okay, all right? So how much do Americans spend? You want to know? Father's Day, $15.3 billion in gifts, outings, presents, everything. That's for Father's Day. And that's the estimate for this year. Okay, it's going to be a record, they said. Now, for Mother's Day, how much was it? Any guess? 23. You see? But that's okay. They deserve it, right? Mothers deserve it, right? But we do too. All right? Okay. Now, being a father is a great responsibility, right? It's a wonderful privilege. But every privilege in life also brings what? A responsibility. And we're going to go over some different styles from being of parenthood, of fatherhood, okay? Those principles, or those styles apply to both mother and father, okay? They apply to parenting in general. And this is also from, like I said, from research. So fatherhood styles, I want you to go with me with the four of them. First one is what? Military, and that's what? Authoritarian, okay? Second, and then we're gonna go over those individually. The Santa Claus style, okay? That's what I call Santa Claus style. That's what? Permissive, okay? Satellite style, that's uninvolved. I'm gonna explain that later, okay? And finally, God's model, which is what? Authoritative. It's not the same as authoritarian, which is different, okay? So let's go over the military style. This is like kind of the sergeant style, right? What are the characteristics of this kind of parenthood, fatherhood, parenting? And maybe this is the style of parenting that our parents had when we were little, especially those like people like me, you know? This is like the traditional family where the father establishes the rules, right? And it's like the military. There is no discussion, okay? Anyone here has been in the military? Raise your hand. Okay. So what do you do with orders? When you receive order, what do you do? Just obey, right? Do you discuss? No, you say, yes, sir, right? Yes, sir. So traditional family, and this is mostly in the past, right? This kind of families, this kind of style of parenting is kind of disappearing now. But it was like that, okay? You wouldn't discuss your parents or your father's orders. You just obey. You don't discuss. Now, there are some advantages, right? There's advantage of this. But also there are some disadvantages. Now, let's go over the characteristics. Little what? Nurturing. Loss of psychological control. Basically, the children are controlled. 100%, right? Now when the kids are little, right? Babies, toddlers, they depend on us, right? And that's good. But the problem is when you want to control your kids when they're teenagers, you want to exercise the same kind of control when they become even adults, okay? That's not healthy for a relationship. So, in little nurturing, don't encourage verbal give and take. There's not a lot of communication. This is a kind of dry relationship, right? Like I said, I come from a very dysfunctional family. And even though I love my dad, you know, he passed away already, but he never talked to me, okay? He never gave me advice. And I don't blame him because maybe that was the way he was raised, right? So, I know I was sure that he loved me, okay, because he showed love in different ways to me, okay? But there was not this give and take communication. It was just, you know, he was just like a military, right? You don't talk in the feeling level, emotional connection. There's no emotional connection, okay? So this is, like I said, this is like a traditional family. In the past, mostly. Are obedience and status oriented and expect their orders to be obeyed without what? Question, okay? You have to do this. Why? Because I said so. Because I'm your mother or because I'm your father, right? Yes. Okay. What else? Tend to control their children through shaming, the withdrawal of love, another punishment. I don't love you anymore. I'm ashamed of you. Okay, this is the kind of parenthood that is like a military. Okay, and they use withdrawal of love to manipulate many times. Right. So what else? Don't usually attempt to explain the reasons for rules. Like I said, you have to do. This, why? Because I said so. But why? Because I'm your father and your mother, okay? Now, like I said, being a father, being a parent is not easy, okay? I think it's a science, it has principles, but also it's an art, okay? Ellen G. White says that children should learn first to obey before they learn to think. You know, when I read that, I was puzzled by this, you know, statement by her. But when I studied families, I learned why. You know, the kids, when they're little, you know, they development, they main development is not there yet. So they need to obey. They need to know how to obey, okay? It's hard to explain to little kids the reason for the rules, right? But once they start developing, growing up, that's different. Then that's when you start, you know, explaining why. So Ellen G. White was right, okay? The kids needs to learn, learn to obey first before they learn to think, right? So, but the problem is the military father, they don't explain the rules even when the kid, when the children are teenagers, adults, okay? That's why, you know, I'm saying it's an art. It's an appreciation art. You have to, you know, ask God for wisdom. When it's important that you explain to your kids the rules, okay? And it is when they start growing up, start developing their reasoning, okay? Start being more independent from you, okay? So the military style has some advantages, like I said, but also it could be rude. There's lack of bondage. There's lack of emotional connection many times, okay? How many of you grow up in a home like that with a military style parenthood? Anyone? Okay? I was like that, okay? Now, this is kind of extreme, right? The extreme side. Now, what the devil wants to do always take us to the other extreme. And our society moved from this style of parenthood to the other extreme, which is the Santa Claus style. Okay? Where's the purpose of Santa Claus? To make everybody happy, right? To make everybody smile. Okay, what do you want? Okay, I want this toy, I want that toy, I want that gift. Okay, here it is. So that's what is called the what? Santa Claus style, which is the permissive. Okay? Just do whatever you want. So our society went from this side of being, you know, very strict, very firm, and then Satan took us to the other extreme. Okay? No rules, little respect or no respect, do whatever you want, and everybody's happy. Okay? It is on, so I don't know if you can turn it on over there. All right, can you, please, thank you. So, have few rules or standards of behavior, okay? And we see this in our society today. Maybe some of you know that I work as a counselor, family and youth counselor in the Bay Area for 9 years. And I saw a lot of families in therapy. And the most common problem is there is no rules in the family. There is no limits. Okay, why? Because, you know, especially children raised in the military style family, they say, okay, we got enough of this. And I don't want my kids to go through the same things that I went through when I was a child. So I'm gonna do the opposite, okay? No family structure, no rules, no limits, okay? So, few rules, what else? When there are rules, they're often very, what? Inconsistent. You know, that's the key word, consistency. In raising our kids, consistency is very important, all right? So you have to be consistent. And that means, you know, apply the same principles every time, okay? Same principles. Now, principles don't change, right? What changed is the way you apply. And it goes according to the kid's age, right? So, consistent is very important. Also, you have to be consistent with the kids. Some families, especially the dad, you know, I'm a father, and have a daughter. And some parents, you know, some dads, they favor the daughter, right? Oh, she's my princess. Oh, yeah, okay, here you go. Over the boys, right? And sometimes vice versa. The mother will favor what? the boys, this is my mama boy, right? Over the daughters. So you have to be consistent across the board, okay? What else? This is a Santa Claus style, okay? Are usually very nurturing, that's the advantage, right? And loving to their kids, right? While in the other style, there's no emotional connection. In this one, there's more connection emotionally. The problem is, you know, they have no rules, no limits. Because oh, I love my kids. So let them do whatever they want. Okay, often seen more like a friend. This is very common. Okay, I used to hear, you know, in family sessions, especially mothers say, I told my daughters, I'm your friend. You know, are you really your kid's friend? No. Is that a role that God gave you? To be their friends? Maybe what you meant is, okay, trust me as a friend, okay? But you're never going to be your kid's friend, okay? No, because that's not the role that God gave it to you, okay? There's other ways to gain your kid's trust, okay? But not by saying that, okay, acting like you're a friend. Because there's no authority then. Who's in charge then? Okay, you have a family of friends, right? Of siblings. No authority, okay? All right, so what else? May use a bribery, such as toys, gifts, and food, just like Santa Claus, right? As meals to get child to what? To behave. Okay, that's a huge mistake. All right? You know, I always say when I do family seminars, I always say, you only have, as a father, you only have four responsibilities. Everything else besides that is a privilege. Now, you know, you want to know the responsibilities as father and mother? Number one, food, right? That is your responsibility as a father, as a mother, okay? Because, I mean, your kids didn't ask you to come to this world. You brought them to this world, right? So it's your responsibility to feed them. Number two, shelter, okay? That is your obligation. You're obligated, it's your responsibility, your duty. Okay, provide shelter. What else? Clothing, okay, and education. And if possible, Christian education. Adventist education, right? So, four responsibilities. Everything else, beyond that, that's a privilege, which can be lost, can be lost. It needs to be gained. You have to work for it as a kid, right? When I preach this sermon, kids look at me ugly, right? Please, Pastor, stop saying that. Okay. Yeah, but, you know, iPhone, iPad, all the I's, right? I pay, I, okay? Those are what? Privilege. They're not necessary, yes. Which means you're not obligated. But you know, I want because my friend has this iPhone. You know, what's the top of the line right now? How much is it? What's the iPhone? 10 or 11? I don't know. Okay. $1,000, something like that. Now, if you had the money and you can give it to your kids, that's okay. But can be taken away anytime. They have to earn it, right? So, kids are not gonna die if you take away privileges, right? Sometimes that's the way for them to manipulate you. Because what are your responsibilities again? Only four. Is that clear? And you don't have to use toys, gifts, to get your kids to behave. All right? So that's the Santa Claus style.
Are there disadvantages? This style? Many, right? Provide little in the way of schedule or structure, family structure, schedule, bedtime, homework time, waking up time, right? Meal time. So Santa Claus style, you just do whatever you want, okay? And we have the mother sometimes cooking every day because one kid want to have meals at this time, and then the other doesn't want to have meals at that time. So 2 hours more, you have the other kid coming to the kitchen, have a meal. So it's like a restaurant, right? So no structure. This is a Santa Claus style. Emphasize their children's freedom rather than what? Responsibility. Oh, poor my kids, they're tired. Let them sleep. Okay, I'll do it for them. I don't want them to suffer, what I suffered when I was a kid. You see, that's what Satan deceives us. It's right, that's right. Maybe you were raised in a home where there was a lot of rules, very strict. But you know what? After all, when you look back, it was good, right? Because it makes you responsible, right? So I thank my father for giving me rules. Okay? I thank them. All right. So this is a Santa Claus style. Ask their children opinions in major decisions. This is very important, right? Now, it is important to include our kids in some decisions, right? Like, what we're going to do on Sunday. You want to go to Yosemite, or you want to go to see the giant trees or to the beach, right? Those are minor decisions. But you're not to ask about the budget, right? Where to live, okay? But, because some parents, they lost authority. That they, it's just like another kid. How many of you have heard this pastor and writer, James Dobson? Okay, program Focus on the Family, right? Long time ago, he wrote a book called Dare to Discipline. Dare to Discipline. The title is very interesting because parents don't dare to discipline. So he's encouraging parents to take control and take charge in this society where we as parents have lost control and lost authority and lost respect. Why? Because we have allowed the kids to manipulate us. Who is in charge at home? Parents. Parents. Yes. Amen? Amen. That's the role. Now, let's go to the next one. Okay. Really enforce any type of consequences. There's no consequences. When I was doing counseling for youth, one of the things I always tell the kids was, you can do whatever you want, especially teenagers, okay? You don't want to come to school? Don't come. But let me tell you something. You're going to get consequences. Maybe, at home, you're not receiving any consequence. But life is going to give you consequences. Okay? Your life is going to make up for parents. Did you know that? So one of the big lessons that we as parents need to teach our kids is that there is consequences for everything, good and bad. If you do good, it's going to be good. If you do bad, it's going to be bad. That's in the Bible, right? It's the Bible. So the worst mistake we can make is protect our kids. Oh, poor my kid. Okay. It's Sunday night, 11. And then one of your kids comes to you. I forgot my prayer. It's due tomorrow. Sound familiar? That happened in my home, right? Oh, because I want my kids to have only A's. I ran to the Walmart to bring all the materials and stuff. And then I with my kid, you know, and, you know, 12, 1 a.m. doing the project because he forgot. Who is paying the consequences? And sometimes it's not about my kid. It's about me as parents. What people are going to say if my kid has an F, that I'm a bad parent. So I don't want that to happen. So what I'm teaching to my kid, I'm rescuing him, rescuing my kids every time. Big mistake. You know what? You forgot about it. It was responsibility. If you got to have an A, an F, let's be it. You have paid the responsibility, the consequences, not me. Okay? So the Santa Claus style has no consequences for behavior. All right, the satellite style is another one. What's a satellite? It goes around, right? Like we, you know, our planet Earth has a satellite, right? The moon is part of the system, but it's not in the system. It doesn't go away, but it doesn't come in, right? It just spins around. Are you with me? So we have, in family therapy, we have something called, we have a dynamic, family dynamic called the peripheral father. The peripheral father is a father. You know, he sleep in every night. He comes and eat every day. He's there physically, present, but emotionally and mentally, he's outside. You get the picture? Okay. Because all his life, all his interests are outside the home. He cares more about NBA finals. He cares more about his job. He cares more about his friends than his family. That's why he's satellite. He doesn't go away completely, right? Because he sleeps there. He's sleeping every night. He is there. He showers there, right? But he's not involved. Okay? And this is very, very sad. I think, like I said before, and I'm, you know, disclosing myself, my father was a satellite father. He never got involved with me emotionally. You know, and I love him so much, right? Because he didn't know how to. And, you know, this is something we as men have to struggle with in our lives. We struggle connecting emotionally with people. Did you know that? We as men. And maybe our society, especially my culture, Latin culture, they raise us like that. Okay? We struggle opening up our feelings to others. Like I said, I'm sure and I know for sure that my father loved me. Okay? But he never told me. Okay? That's why I try now to break that cycle, that parent, with my kids and tell my kids, I love you. Okay? And be affective physically, verbally with them. Because we need to break cycles. Amen? We, you know, even in Spanish, there is a song that says, men don't cry. Men shouldn't cry. Los hombres no lloran. Okay? So crying is just showing affection, right? Showing our feelings, right? Expressing our feelings. What's wrong with that? But in our Latin and Mexican culture, that is wrong, because you are losing your manhood. You're not that man, tough, macho. Yeah, so it's a struggle. Okay, showing affection to your kids, to your spouse, is a sign of weakness in our culture. So we have to break that. Okay? So we have to connect, not be a satellite. There's emotional distance from their children. What else? They often little or no supervision. Okay? No supervision. They show little warmth, love, and affection towards the children. They have few or no expectation of demands for behavior. They're just not involved. Okay? They don't exercise discipline, neither love or affection. They don't attend school events and parents-teachers conferences. Okay? They may intentionally avoid their children. Okay? Because you know, there's a lot of material on this, but a lot of men, they're afraid of intimacy, emotional intimacy. They feel vulnerable. And that produces a negative reaction, like aggression. Okay? A lot of physical abuse by husband has to do with this. There's a cycle of abuse. Then we might talk about that in another occasion. But when the man feels that he's getting too close emotionally, too intimate with the spouse, they react in an aggressive way because they are scared, they're afraid of being intimate. Okay? So that's why, you know, the satellite father tries to avoid kids, not get too close emotionally. Are you with me? Okay, they often too overwhelmed with their own problems to deal with their children. Okay, now what's God's style? This is authoritative, because God is our example, right? So God has discipline? Yes. That God has rules? Yes. Of course, right? Is he firm? That he has boundaries. He has Ten Commandments, right? Principles, right? But also, he is affective. He is love. He is grace. Amen? Even the book of Psalms says that the throne of God, love and law get together. Right? So praise God, because he is our example. They listen to their children. Amen? You know, one of the most common complaints when I was a counselor with youth was, my parents don't listen to me. Okay? They don't listen to me. I want to tell them this or that, they don't listen to me. Okay? So, listen to your kids. Listen to them. Even though what you're hearing is not pleasant. Is ugly. Okay? When they make mistakes, listen to them. Okay? Don't get mad. It's not easy, right? It's not easy because, I mean, when your kids misbehave, your first reaction is, again. But when you do that, they can see your reaction, you're gonna build a wall. And guess what's going to happen next time they misbehave? Are they going to come to you? Of course not. They're going to go to their friends. Okay? Let them know that even though they made a mistake, you still love them. Okay? It's just like God. Amen? How many mistakes we have made in our lives? But God still loves us. Right? Because God is love. So ask God, you as father, ask God for that love. They allow their children to express opinions. Very important. Okay? They encourage their children to discuss opinion. It's a communication. Take and give, give and take. Okay? What else? They foster independence and reasoning. Okay? Because at the end, you know, our goal as parents is to raise kids that they become independent adults, grown-up adults, right? If you spend your life solving your kids' problem, they're never going to grow up. They're never going to mature, right? They're always going to be calling papi and mommy. Hey. But our role is to make them independent. Right? Okay. They place limits, consequences, very important. Expectation on their children's behavior. That's family structure. That's what's called family structure. Okay? Consequences, limits, rules, and expectations. Okay? They express warm and nurturing. So it is, you know, love. Love is sweet. Amen? But it's firm too. Amen. Right? Love is sweet, but it's firm. There was a program over there called Tough Love. That was especially for the relationship between mother and daughter. Okay, tough love. Love is tough. Okay, and because I love you, I'm going to set limit for you. And because I love you, I can't allow this behavior at home. Are you with me? Setting limits is an act of love. Now, your kids may not see that way. Okay? When you set limits to your kids, they're not going to like it. I had one kid told me one day, I regret my parents. But, you know, setting limits is part of love. So don't get discouraged. You got to set limits and consequences. Do it. That's your responsibility. Don't let your kids manipulate you. Are you with me? Like I said, kids are not happy with limits. In all the years that I had as a counselor, I never had a kid talking, you know, and saying to me, oh, you know, Mr. Counselor, I'm so happy at home. You see how beautiful rules I have at home. Oh, those are wonderful rules. I love them. I've never seen that, and I'm never going to see that. They don't like rules. We don't like rules, right? Because we are sinners, right? We are sinners. We obey because we know it's a principle, not because we like it, right? Okay, we almost finished. They administer fair and consistent, again, consistent keyword, discipline when rules are what? Broken. Be consistent. Okay, discipline should be based on consistency, not on your mood. Okay? Oh, last night I have good sleep. Today you're not happy, so do whatever you want. You can watch TV, you know, as much as you want. Are you with me? Oh, last night was terrible. I couldn't sleep, so zero TV today. You know, the discipline is not based on your mood. Are you with me? It's on principle. Okay. Now, go to the Bible. Amen? I think the Bible is the best therapy for everything. So, unless, who? The Lord. Our Father, amen? Builds the house. The builders labor in vain. Have you ever done something that was in vain? How do you feel? That you worked so hard and then at the end nothing happened, there was no results? Has that happened to you? How do you feel? Frustrated, right? Frustration. It was a waste of time. So if you don't bring God to your home, you're working in vain. And those years for me, working in the mental health, were very helpful for me, okay? But my frustration was that it's a secular world. And psychology helps a lot, okay? Psychology therapy helps you to understand your behavior. By the way, what's psychology? Psychology is a study of behavior, of human behavior. You know, I have a misconception. When I was a child, I was scared of psychologists because I said, they're going to read my mind. And you know, I ended up getting married to a psychologist. And she can read my mind sometimes. All right, she tries. But you know, psychology is not about reading the mind of somebody else. Okay? Psychology is a study of behavior. Okay? Because you know, you cannot measure. Can you measure anger? Can you measure frustration? Can you measure sadness? Is there a scale? What's the units of sadness? No. Everything is subjective, right? But what you can measure is behavior, right? So psychology is not a study of the mind. It's basically a study of behavior. And psychology helps you to understand why you behave this way and why you hate that way. But when it comes to change your behavior, when it comes to do something different, that's when psychology is helpless. You understand what I'm saying? And that was my frustration with people. Let's say anger management therapy. Okay, you can do this, you can do that, and you get angry because this or because that, according to this theory, okay? You understand? Yes, okay. Are you gonna do this? Yes. 1 week, person was okay. Then 2 weeks, another anger incident, right? And here goes that control again, remote. The punch in the wall. But you did what I told you to do? Yes, but I couldn't control myself. And that was my frustration because I knew that he was not able to do it by himself. Because he's only what? God. So unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Okay? The work of making home happy does not rest upon the mothers alone. Fathers here, are you reading this with me? Fathers have an important part to act. Amen? The husband is the houseband of the home treasures, binding by his strong, earnest, devoted affection the members of the household, mother and children, together in the strongest bonds of union. So the father is important? It's an important figure at home? Yes. And it's not the mother's responsibility. Okay, this is Ellen G. White. Okay. So fathers, please take responsibility. Okay, let me tell you something serious. And I'm preaching to myself, okay? Sometimes we think that we as fathers, our only responsibility is to bring the check, to provide. Right? And okay, here's the money, here's the check. And then the mother, you know, you deal with the rest. That's wrong. And I'm preaching to myself. Okay? Yes, that's one of the responsibilities. But after you come back from work, you have some kids to develop a relationship with. Are you with me? So don't think that your responsibility ends when you bring the check, when you need the money home. Okay? Get involved with your kids. Play with them. Expand quality time with them. And God is going to reward you. Your kids need you. Amen. How many of you fathers here have daughters? I have a daughter. You know, and someone's mentioned this here before, I think it was you, the relationship that you develop with your daughter, or your daughter developed with you, is very important. It's connected to the kind of husband they're going to choose. Did you know that? It's very important. So be a good father to your daughter. Be a nurturing father to your daughter. Okay. The father should not excuse himself from his part in the work of educating his children for life and immortality. So we're educating for heaven, right? Not for this world, for heaven. There is obligation. You see, obligation for both fathers and mother. There must be love and respect manifested by the parents for one another if they will see these qualities developing in their children. All right. And let's skip that one. Okay. This one. Everyone, this is from the Bible, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on what? On the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blow and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on what? On the rock. So this is the foundation, right? The words of God. Amen? Now, look at the other family. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on what? On the sand. Now, they have the same problems. I want you to notice this, okay? The house that was founded on the rock, you know, the rain came, right? The hurricane, the winds, strong winds. You know, but the other one, and the rain fell and the flood came and the winds blew. And beat against the house, and what? It fell. And great was the fall on it. So, same house, different materials. I mean, different foundation. That's what makes the difference. Okay? Outside the church, outside God, people are trying to build houses based on the sand. For me, the sands are the humanistic theories. Okay? Do whatever you want. There is no God, okay? The rule of authority, it is your mind. That's a humanistic perspective. Are you with me? But Christian families are founded in Jesus Christ with principles. Now, Christian families, Adventist families, have crisis too. Because as you can see, both houses got rain, got winds, right? You, as Adventist families, are going to go through crisis, right? Different crisis in your life. But if you're founded on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, you're going to prevail. You're going to be victorious. You're going to stand because you're founded in Christ. So my invitation for you this morning is to listen to the word of God. May God bless you all. Thank you.